Shire, how you doing?
Good, good, buddy. I'm a loyal listener. I listen like 5 days a week for 10 minutes before I join you.
What's the code word?
Calder, right?
There you go.
Well, that's okay, buddy. Because if you didn't text me your hits every day on TSN, I'd never see them either. So
we actually had some fun with the guys today, sort of. It's kind of fun, I guess. I don't know, depending on your idea of fun. We had Taylor Hall sort of judging and comparing McDavid's goal last night to Eberle's first goal.
Oh, yes.
So I don't know what Taylor picked Connor's. Eberle didn't like it. Said it was just because they're roommates. Sort of the politically correct thing to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was going to do a Twitter poll. I don't know how to do Twitter polls. If I knew how to do a Twitter poll, I would have done one today.
Yeah.
Which one is the more impressive goal?
Don't you just hit the button right on the tweet that says poll?
Yes, you do. But, Rashog, keep in mind, Rashog's the guy who talked on speakerphone with his phone in his pocket. So, let's, you know.
Yeah. I also, if I recall, tweeted my phone number once.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still get random texts from people
about
that?
Yeah, the odd time.
Yeah, yep. Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
I
there's one
it.
Guy keeps checking in now and then. Yep. Sounds like he's doing well. Kids are healthy. Yeah, yeah, one's heading off to college. Yeah, we chat.
That's how it's at. And the thing is, because the Connor McDavid goal is so fresh in people's minds, I think they would take it. But when you go back and you look at the Eberle goal, man, like the Eberle goal was sick.
Who did he go around?
Robert, was it Regier?
Nope.
It was Weidman.
He was sliding on his belly. I know that much.
Yeah. And it's Kiprusoff instead of Korpisalo, so that's got to add a little bit to it, right?
I mean, the Eberle one, and I think it was shorthanded too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Vandermeer started that play.
Yes, it was.
I feel like it was shorthanded. It was in his first game. The dangle around the D-man was ridiculous. He got to go top cheese, and then, as Connor said today, kind of had the Bobby Orr, like, leap into the corner. I mean, George, that was a pretty epic goal, man.
What did you ask McDavid which one he liked better?
No, I mean, neither guy would say, right? Like, Jordan's going to pick Connor's, and Connor's going to pick Jordan's, and they're going to be hockey players through and through. That's why I went to Taylor, and Taylor gave it up. I tweeted a link to this piece. People can watch it. Actually, while Taylor was saying, yeah, I think Connors is better, Jordan was like 5 feet away listening. And Taylor looked over and I was like, oh, man, he heard you say that. So it was kind of funny. But, yeah, Taylor picked Connors. I honestly probably, as amazing as I think that was last night, everybody on the Flames played that to almost perfection. Like, there's not much more the defenseman could have done with the way he slid. The goaltender, there's not much more he could have done. What I would say is that on the McDavid goal, there was just this train wreck of human error happening around him. I mean, why Falk didn't just play the body on him, I just can't figure out. And so there was probably more, he was the benefit of more human error than Eberle was. But at the same time, I also had an NHL defenseman explain to me that Connor is so intimidating with that speed and acceleration, he makes guys do things they probably wouldn't normally do. So I guess maybe he should get credit for those guys playing it like that.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think you have defensemen who get so nervous, he's like, oh, my God, I got to close the gap, and he slides over and doesn't even look at the puck and trips over himself, and away you go. I do think the speed and the fear factor all comes into play. All I know is, you know, they're both great goals. And for McDavid coming off, 3 months with no hockey, and not only that goal, but, you know, he picked the pocket to lead to another breakaway. He made another ridiculous backhand pass out of his own zone in the third period. You know, he had two assists in the game. Like, it's really kind of ridiculous when you think of a game like that for a kid in his 14th NHL game after a three-month layoff. Like, it's kind of mind-blowing how dominant he was. And I know it's Columbus, but it's still an NHL team.
Yeah, well, listen. I mean, and you don't want to go making, like, huge, ridiculous statements the day after a good game. But I think it's probably, we've seen 14 games of Connor now, and you guys check me on this, but run back through all the good young players that have come into the league. I don't think we have ever seen this combination of speed, smarts, and hands. Like, I've never seen all three of those. I mean, Jordan Eberle has insane hands, crazy good hands, but he doesn't have the speed. Taylor Hall has insane speed, but he doesn't necessarily have the hands. Like, Connor is this unbelievable hybrid of all three of those. Incredible speed, all-world hands, and just unbelievable hockey sense and vision. Like, the number of times he has the puck and makes what would be considered a negative play, he's batting really, really high of either making, like, a neutral play or a positive play. It's very seldom that he makes negative plays with the puck, and it's really, really impressive, and it's going to be – it's so much fun to watch, I have to say. I'm not trying to sound like fanboy. Trust me, I'll be the first to pile on when it's time, but he is a really exciting player to watch, and it rejuvenates fans, and, you know, you feel rejuvenated watching the game because it is really exciting.
Ryan, I think you can add a fourth dimension to the ones you named, and to me, it's – desire to excel. The game was in the bag. It was done. He's at the side of the net, down on his knees. He fishes the puck out from the side of the goal, hops to his feet. That's desire. Then the talent comes in, spots Eberle, bing bang, in the net. And the other thing, even though it's not play in the game, it shows me something. After time forced out of a game he clearly loves, that celebration had a lot of mustard on it, and there's nothing wrong with that. It tells me this kid is happier no place than out on the ice with his team.
Yeah, no, and that's what I've sort of learned to understand about Connor, because I didn't really know him as a person before he got here, and still learning. But watching him interact with his teammates, Jason, I mean, you see it all the time too. Like, you look at him at practice, and he's just – there's nowhere that he's happier than on the ice with his teammates. And it's always hugs and high fives and laughing. And the one thing that really struck me last night in the dressing room was listening to these other players talk about Connor. Connor has been so respectful. He's been so careful not to step on toes. He's been so unassuming. The most important thing to Connor was to not want his teammates to think he was big for his britches at all. And so when he goes out and does these incredible things, and you listen to these veteran players talk about him, they just talk about him with so much care and so much respect. And they are just genuinely happy for him. And then, I mean, I remember, guys, on that first road trip of the year when we were rolling through St. Louis and all that, we were talking to all these other players from other teams about Connor. The one thing they almost everybody we talked to, from Ben to Sagan to Petrangelo, was, I don't know the kid, I never met him, but all I've heard is he's a really good kid, really respectful, respects the game, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Connor's reputation out there is of an unassuming, not cocky kid who is just all-world, lights-out talent. And so everything that he does on the ice is as impressive as it is. Learning that off the ice and in the team dynamic, he really does have a pretty amazing persona, and you can see the way these players are happy to heap praise on him because he's unassuming, and that really means something when you're talking about long-term what the Oilers have here, because the kind of person is just as important in a lot of ways.
Ryan Ashok from TSN joins us. Probably my favorite story of the whole Connor McDavid goal was the fact Eric Greiva scored his first goal in 138 games. I talked to him after the game, and I said, wow, 1 in 138, and he goes, was it that many? God. And he laughs, and he goes, I just didn't want to go another season, because he didn't score a goal all of last season. So Greiva then proceeds to tell me the story. So a few shifts after McDavid's goal, him and McDavid just happen to sit beside each other on the bench, which he says doesn't happen very often because he's a D-man, and, you know, McDavid usually for whatever, you know, for a defenseman and a forward to sit together, just be pretty rare. They're changing all the time. So anyway, he sits beside him, and it was just before the timeout, and he leads over to McDavid, and he says, which goal do you think was nicer?
Yeah, and Connor, I'm sure.
Oh, he had a huge, he had a big laugh about it. Yeah, and, you know, it's just, I think that, you know, you got to remind that, you know, the game's fun, but, and Greiba was joking about it afterwards. He goes, man, like, if Greiba was the second star of the game. I thought he played a really good game, and he was kind of joking about it. He goes, I finally score a goal, and it's overshadowed within moments, right? Like, that's where you can make fun of stuff like that.
Like, nobody outside of the people in that building last night saw that Eric Greiba goal, unless they're watching on TV. Like, I guarantee it did not make a highlight pack anywhere, because it was all McDavid and just the incredible performance. It did overshadow it. But, I mean, you know, Greiba's a guy that will have fun with that. He's a guy that probably senses the same things about Connor and doesn't mind one bit. But you know what? Good for him, because he's been pretty consistent. He's been a lunch bucket guy that kind of says, here I am, this is about the most I can do, but I'm going to do that just about every single night for you. And that's what he's been doing. He's been consistent. You know, consistency hasn't been a lot of it in and around the Oilers, and in particular on the blue line, but Greiba has kind of been pretty consistent for them.
Yeah, he's the dictionary definition of that number six guy. Another thing, Ryan, I don't know if
teams will want him too. Sorry to interrupt you, Robin, but teams will want that guy for a playoff run.
Big body. He hits. He plays an honest game. He's not going to give you much of what we saw last night, but nobody expects it. Another thing, Ryan, and I don't know if you noticed it or if anybody got a chance to ask about it, Cassian going over and leaning over the boards and having a quick laugh with McDavid. Do we know what that exchange is about? Because to me, that's also a good sign about another guy who could be a pretty important player for this team from now on if he sticks with it.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know exactly what happened there, but you bring up a good point, Robin, because, you know, Jay, I remember talking to you on this show about Luke Gazdik and the role that Gazdik played on this team and how yes, the pure fighter is kind of going the way of the dodo bird here, but there's still room for guys to be a little bit menacing in the game and for guys to be, pounding out some space for themselves and to be a little overzealous at times in protecting teammates and those sorts of things. And maybe Luke had gone too far in the other direction of wanting to show that he can play and not doing everything in his power to make sure all that other role was taken care of. And so a guy comes in like Cassian who, I mean, look, if it really gets ugly and it's time to throw down, Zach can handle himself with most guys in the league. He's not going to scare anybody necessarily, but he can handle himself. Hendricks can handle himself. Greiba can handle himself. Well, now that's three pretty functional guys that can do it. And so for Gazdik, unfortunately for him, he just didn't really separate himself from any of those guys in that way. And so there isn't room. Flat out, there isn't room. And with Cassian on the scene now being able to play some good minutes and looking like he could be a decent player for the Oilers here and take care of that role and get in some people's faces and be that agitator and maybe a little bit intimidator for some of the middleweights out there, it kind of made Gazdik a little bit expendable here. Now we've seen him. He's on waivers, and we'll see if somebody else finds a use for him.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't claim him, and I saw Luke last night and kind of knew this was happening. It was a very tough situation because I think there's a realistic chance. It might have been his last NHL game if he's not claimed by another team, because I'm not sure the Oilers would be recalling him. I'm not sure I see a reason why they would.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I guess we wait and see. I tell you what, if what happened against Florida happens again another night and there's a rematch, I mean, it's pretty easy to call him up and get him in. He becomes, I don't know if I'd go that far, because he does serve a purpose and you can get him up and down fairly easily. So, I mean, but yeah, you're right. It's got to be a tough situation. And look, you don't want him to run around and just dummy people and jump people and be an absolute thug out there. That's not what you're looking for. But I guess what I'm talking about is I just feel like Luke showed up on the scene a lot of times, sort of there to just kind of be there and not, you know, understanding just his presence would probably settle things down a little bit. But I just think maybe he could be a little more proactive, especially in certain games where the temperature's gone up a little bit. And, you know, politely asking somebody if they want to fight and then respecting the fact that they don't is, you know, that's honoring the code in a certain way. But you got to kind of carve out your space and show up in ill humor sometimes and kind of send the message that I'm not making tonight comfortable on you. I might not just sucker you, but I'm not making tonight comfortable on you. And I just think Luke was a guy who kind of became where other teams didn't really have to worry about him too much, because if their tough guy wasn't going to fight him, there wasn't really much else they had to worry about from him. And I don't think you can say the same thing about Cassian.
Yeah, I look at Zach, and I think at times he just was too respectful, which, you know, it shouldn't be a negative, but in this case it was.
Gazdic, you mean?
Yeah, Gazdic, yeah.
Yeah.
Shogger, have yourself a good night.
Okay, guys, good to talk to you.